This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
That's Khoo Soo Chuang. The dulcet tones.
The dulcet tones.
So Khoo Soo Chuang and myself, Sharad Kutin.
Only my mother would describe my voice as dulcet, actually.
Does she really?
No, she's never done it. Only she would.
If she did, she would.
If she did, she would.
Okay, but you know, that's something about mothers. Of course, we had Mother's Day.
That's right.
On Sunday, and did you do anything special for your mother, Chuang?
I'm afraid not, actually. But I did give her a call because she's about
Can we give a collective boo, a jeer for Khoo Soo Chuang, who didn't do anything for his mother?
You see, we talk every day. Every day is Mother's Day.
Oh, with you. That's so sweet. You're a real charmer. I can just see you, you ankle biter, you. Okay.
Yeah, those are my kids, actually.
But you know, at one point, you were a child, too.
I was.
Yeah.
I still am, actually.
As your children are to you, you are to your mother. If you must remember that. Okay. Now, lots of exciting things happening today, including a discussion with Datuk Sri Dr. S. Subramaniam, who's not just the health minister, but of course, president of the MIC, the Malaysian Indian Congress. He's the fifth president in a party that brought this country to independence. So a really important party in terms of the life of the nation, but also one that's had serious challenges to its relevance and legitimacy. So we're going to be talking to him about the Indian Malaysian Indian blueprint that was recently produced, as well as other issues connected to general elections 14. So if you have any questions for him, remember you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can text us at 016-201-9000. That's 016-201-9000. Chuang, what question would you ask him if you had a chance?
I would ask him about, the thing is, Malaysia has never been more fragmented in its very short history. And this Malaysian-Indian blueprint is very interesting for me because, the Indians and the Chinese are the minorities in this country. And we do need some kind of, like, framework to go forward. And unfortunately, it's come at a very troubling time in our country's history.
Yeah, the question I would ask is, why does it need to be framed in communal terms? Because if you look at the blueprint itself, is targeted at the bottom 40.
Show this racial breakdown between the old Malaysians.
What's interesting about the analysis is that Indians form, if you look at every segment, the top 20, the middle 40, the bottom 40, the percentage of Indians kind of holds throughout. So they're about 8 to 9% in each of those categories. So they're not disproportionately represented in any of the segments. So in that sense, the Indian community is a template of where this country might be in terms of dealing with things in a non-communal way. So that's going to be one of my questions to him. Also, we have coming up, we have the BBC, as always, on the Tuesday, and it's apparently a golden opportunity to look at Somalia. Somalia, of all countries.
Of all places, yeah. Not just the scene for some movies.
But, before we forget, it is, of course, Teachers' Day, and we want to wish all teachers, as you're rushing off to school this morning, happy Teachers' Day. My mother was a teacher. You don't have a parent who was a teacher, do you, Chuang?
No, but I've come across many teachers in my life, and they've all been instrumental.
And I know they were probably traumatized by your inclusion in the student list for the year. It's like, oh no, you're going to get that terrible cool boy. Anyway, we'll be back shortly, but now, Your Wildest Dreams by Moody Blue. BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad, and with me, Chuang. Khoo Soo Chuang, as his family would refer to him, because they're very formal up in Penang, aren't they?
No, we're hardly formal, less than formal. In fact, we're very informal.
So the Pearl of the Orient is the chillest place in the Federation.
Do you think so?
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised by that. I would have thought that, but they're probably the happiest. Are they the happiest?
Maybe, because you can take people out of islands, but never the islands out of people.
So are you one of those Penangites that would bring the egg to the Kway Teow man,
I don't.
So you save the 20 cents?
But I know some people who do.
So has that made Penangites happier? Because they're so careful with money. Could you actually ever be happy if you're so careful with money?
I think in Penang, more than any other state in Malaysia, there's a direct link between having a liquid, liquidity in their bank accounts and the happiness quotient.
Oh, it's okay. You're so happy when you look at your bank's statement.
I think so.
That's what gives you happiness.
Not so much what it signifies, but what it can buy you, you see.
Okay. But if you're not going to, if you're so tight-fisted and you don't actually buy anything,
then you'll be a miserable a bit of a SOB.
Okay. Ooh, I think we can't say that on air.
But that's why I said SOB.
Yes. So, you know, that. So the recent survey on, you know, global happiness, this time with young people, had some surprising results. So where young people the happiest is not, as you might imagine, in the developed West, but in fact in Indonesia, Nigeria, and India. So you're thinking of those continents. In fact, it's continental. All those three countries are huge in terms of population.
And if you're an expat, you get sent to these countries, you get paid hardship allowance because apparently it's a hard place to live, and it should be. But that's the bizarre thing because under the study, the young people there are pretty happy. It's really
so
weird.
So what do you think constitutes that happiness? What are the components of that? Is it because these are countries with such a bright future? Everybody's talking up Indonesia. Everybody's talking up India and even Nigeria, right? I mean, Nigeria's produced a Nobel Prize winner. It's also a huge oil producer. It's a federation of, you know, dozens of states.
And by some measures, in a few years' time, it'll be the number three most populous country in the world, more than Indonesia, actually.
So, you know, is that what it is? Is happiness about how you think things are going to change for the better or for the worse in the future?
No, I don't think so. I think happiness is directly related to your surroundings and how carefree you can be. Maybe we've had, you know, cartoons from Lat, and when he was a kampong boy with very little money, the bank account, but they had the river, they had their friends, they had their toys and their tops and what have you. He was very happy. And we've just come back from India, and I've seen kids, you know, in fact, below the poverty line in Delhi, and they're doing somersaults on highway junctions just to get a couple of rupees. And they're laughing among themselves. They're hopping around, and they're very happy kids, even though they're dirt poor. You've seen that as well, right?
Well, I have. I mean, I'm not quite sure if they are captured in these surveys, but I'm kind of guessing it's mostly the young kind of aspiring, you know, educated classes that get captured in these surveys, because for them globalization often is something of a boon, right? It's their possibilities. They can dream not just of kind of exploring India and themselves, but also the world. And I think there's something of that in all those countries. I go to Indonesia as well quite regularly, and it's just amazing the passion that Indonesians have about things, including, you know, if you go in a taxi, for instance, you're learning English. A taxi driver's learning English.
So you're saying it's the positivity and the optimism about the future which drives the results of the survey.
I think so. It's because if you think you can make a better fist of things than your parents, you know, I look at you, Chuang, and I know you often compare yourself quite unfavorably to the life that your parents led. You think of, you know, your father, a lawyer, your mother, civil servant, and the time they spend at the office, and, you know,
Not many hours, precisely.
That's my sense, right? You feel that your generation is hard done by the global realities, which is that you've had to work so much harder for the same kind of quality of life that your parents had.
And then I talk to the Gen Ys and the Gen Zs of our present era, and they've got so many things to contend with. It's not even funny. And that thing is what drives the behavior and what drives the, you know, the older folk like us to some distress, because they live in the moment and you can't blame them.
Well, if you have any opinion on the question of what makes you happy or even younger people happy, you can always tweet us at BFM BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 016-201-9000. Tell us what you think goes into making someone happy. Components of happiness. What about the question of family versus work versus, you know, bank account statements versus a fresh air and a mountain to climb?
You know, we talked about this last week, actually. I want to cite the story of my friend who's now a CEO of a hotel chain. And he always tells me he was happiest when he was in his late 20s, having just come from Penang, renting a room in Jalan Imbi, you know, not making much money, but having no furniture in his rented flat, but sitting on the floor with his guitar, playing music, playing, you know, Rick Springfield or whatever.
That was Rick Springfield.
Yeah, I know. That's how old he is. Okay?
And how old you and I are.
Yeah, we are.
We both know who that is. But is that nostalgia? Is that nostalgia?
And rose-tinted glasses, yeah. But, you know, your memory is effective that way, you see.
But okay, but what about now? Now that you're, you know...
And he's got a bungalow now, he's got two kids, and he's got a... In fact, several
mortgages.
And he's
not happy? I mean, a lot of people aspire to that. I mean, that's exactly what they are 20 years
ago. Precisely. That's the story civilization has taught us. You know, you move, you go from a 3 series to a 5 series to a 7 series, and you'll be happy all along the way. It ain't necessarily so, Sharon.
Okay, but how would you, what advice would you give your kids? Your kids are coming up to what? Are they 8 and 10 or something?
You got to keep it real.
Is that what you tell your kids? Do they understand what that means?
I think eventually they will, because, you know, their father's trying to keep it real.
Is he? Is he?
I think so.
Okay, but you know, what are I said, Daddy, what is it to keep it real? What would you say?
You know, you got to have some perspective. You know, you can stay in a 6-star hotel, but then equally you can camp on the beach and not have, you know, whatever.
Okay, we'll be back with more BFM 89.9. I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me, Kusu Chuang, and that was Domino by Van Morrison. A lovely song and a great
amazing
singer,
band, by the
singer,
way, Van Morrison.
No, it's not amazing a band, band. It's yeah, a man. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
It's a man.
Well, he's got a band behind him, clearly, so he's got to have a band, right?
You just made that up. Oh, my God, do I have a word for you that I cannot say on air. Okay.
I dare you, Sharad.
You dare me.
I dare you. I double dare you.
You're a bad man. You're a bad man. Okay, so talking about bad men, of course, we had that terrible situation of a rape in Banda Kinrara in Puchong. And the thing about it was that it was captured on video, and I think a lot of the chatter after this terrible incident, I believe one of the men has since been apprehended. Thank you so much, PDRM. Is the fact that the video was shared, and I think people, there was a real conflict now. Where do you share this? You know, even if you're out of sheer just curiosity or the question of wanting maybe the men to be apprehended because the video in some sense would reveal the identity of the men. Where do you stand on social media? Do you feel the need ever to censor yourself?
No, I very, very rarely forward stuff, even though right now, I'm a member of like a million WhatsApp groups. And every time I see these videos, whether it's, you know, a tire bouncing off a highway and mauling a person, or whether it's somebody on a phone being hit by a moving vehicle you got to keep your awareness about you when you're talking on the phone. And this one, I also saw it yesterday, and it just goes to show the human psyche, right? Because we love to forward stuff which are either shocking or horrible or terrible or bad news or whatever. And I see very few videos of cats playing with balls of wool. Do you know what I mean?
Because no, but there's a lot of that too.
Exactly. By a huge margin, the kind of videos that I see are the ones that are of the negative variety.
Okay, so
it just goes to show the human psyche, you know.
There is something about us that has a kind of prurient interest in the salacious and also the grotesque, right? But what about this, you know, if you remember from our time before social media, there used to be a series called Faces of Death. Did you ever see that?
I saw that. It's
terrible. I know, because it's from our time, isn't it? When you
and there was Shocking Asia as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and so all of those, I think, have as a genre, have died basically because...
No, they just moved on to social media.
And you could get it every day of the week.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, you'd have to go actually and look for that material or go to your illegal DVD seller to purchase one of those things.
Not that we ever went there.
No, we didn't, because we're good people. But the point is, your thing about the human psyche, what is it that drives us, right? So if it's part of the human psyche, then what can we do about it? I mean, we can talk ourselves blue in the face about what we ought to do, we do what we still want to do.
Correct. And we are part of the problem, because Sharad, I dare us to do one show a day on any given calendar month where we talk only about good news. And it's almost impossible, because the fodder out there just doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, you know what they say about news, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. But does it have to be?
No, it doesn't have to be. But, you know, which media organization sells copies of newspapers by putting good news on the cover? It doesn't happen.
Okay, so the question is...
So it's just playing to people's human, you know, foibles.
And their nature. But what is it about our past, right? Was it that information, before we got all prudish about stuff, that information was just information? You know, if you were, you know, kind of like in a tribe or a band of, you know, slightly hairy, bum-scratching, in a flea-infested human beings, you... sorry about that. You'd want to get as much information about the external world. I mean, the external world was threatening. It had all these things that, you know, there were lines in the sand that you didn't want to cross. You need to inform each other.
No, because you see, that's my problem. Now, I've come to this stage in my life, and I'm, you know, in my vintage, and now I just repel information unless it's really necessary to enter my noggin, because I just get too much of it. And I get forwarded videos every single day. Every time I see them, I delete them. I don't even watch them anymore.
Okay, do you ever advise your children about how to deal with social media?
No, because they haven't entered it yet.
They haven't. No, how did you manage to keep 10-year-olds off Facebook? I mean, haven't they begged you for an account?
Tenacity.
Tenacity on your part.
Yeah.
And like, so you just sort of bullied them.
Rule. No WhatsApp, no YouTube, no iPad.
That's shocking.
No.
I mean, how many of you out there have conceded to your children, given them a WhatsApp account, given them a Facebook?
10 years old, don't la. Come on, too young, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a question of giving them the tools and then really teaching them how to use it.
That's one way
under supervision.
Doing, yeah.
But that's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know. Well, we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the year, I believe, and beyond that.
Because of our lives, because social media is here to stay.
It is here to stay. And so is Cream, Sunshine of Your Love, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Last Train to London, Electric Light Orchestra. I'm sure I couldn't. With me, Kusu Chuang. Just a quick note to all the teachers, past and present, Happy Teachers' Day.
Happy Teachers' Day.
Yeah, we're all grateful for them for shaping our lives and to you for shaping our lives.
Do you have a favorite teacher? You know, one that stands out above and beyond everyone else?
Yes, Mr. Fu Chi Cheng.
Mr. Fu Cici,
my Form 3 teacher in SGI in Singapore. Yeah.
Okay, mine was Mrs. Charles, my literature teacher. Loved her to bits.
Okay, so our wishes to our favorite teachers. And if you have wishes that you want to convey to your favorite teachers, you can always do that by tweeting us at BFM Radio or even WhatsApping us, and we'll mention it if we can while we're on air. Now, very quickly, we also are going to be having Dato' Sri Dr. S. Subramaniam, Minister of Health and MIC President, on the grill this morning. Very excited because so much has happened. In fact, last night's breaking news that Pakasa is going to campaign against MIC, and they're targeting the MIC seats. There are only, I think, 3 MPs that MIC has in Parliament. One of them, of course, is occupied by Dr. S. Subramaniam, and that's the seat of Sagamat, and which he won by slightly less than 3% of the vote. So, you know, it's a real marginal seat, and Pakasa campaigns against him. The question is, it will become vulnerable. So those are the kind of questions I'm going to ask him. If you have any questions, you can WhatsApp us 016-201-9000, 016-201-9000, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Lots of exciting stuff. Chuan, coming back to the question I asked you earlier about whether you did anything for your mother and your very evasive but clever answer, which was that every day is Mother's Day. It turns out there's a family survey that shows that 36% of our elderly are ignored by their own kin. So this is going to make you tear, because I know that deep down behind that a hard carapace of, you know, bravado is a soft-scented sentimentalist.
Sometimes you use words I don't understand, Shiraz.
Oh, you don't. I do not believe that. You went to the top schools in Penang. You went to the top. Your vocabulary outstrips mine by, you know, by head and shoulders. Or something, which is a shampoo, I think. Okay, we have a clip of how Malaysians think about, the elderly. The elderly now speaking about their needs.
Oh, I think it would depend on the health of the parent. I think I'm quite okay, I'm quite healthy. So for me, caring is just even a phone call is fine, because I go and visit them quite often. Kan?
I think it is the willingness to sacrifice lah for your parents. And sometimes when you realize it is too late, allocate time, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, be with your parents, visit them, call them, talk to them, and ask how are they, say hello. I wasn't doing enough of that to my father. But I'm not the type to call him on the phone and pep, 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 pep. I wasn't good at that. I can't complain. Then I call him. It's not enough. But maybe you got no choice. You got to make it a point to talk to them.
The problem is, orang yang rasa macam ni is because they don't know how to occupy their time. Because we have to understand that children have their own life. Unless I'm unhealthy, kan I need orang jaga, then different story lah. If you are bedridden, how are you going to live on your own, orang? But as long I'm healthy, you know, I know how to occupy my time. So I don't feel ignored.
So that were voices of elderly people, as well as some young people reflecting on how they relate to their elderly parents. One of the things, chief takeaways from that for me is, you know, if your parents already have a full life, then of course they're not going to need you as much as when they're in fact incapacitated. But I don't know if we think of our elderly in those ways. Do we, Chuang?
Yeah, we do. And increasingly we are forced to think about it, because we are known as the sandwich generation. We've got to look after our kids as well as our parents. We're sandwiched in between between two generations, and it's a fact of life. And as our parents age, they will need us more. Right now, my parents are very well socialized. They've got a fantastic bunch of friends around them. But there will come a time when more time will have to be spent in front of them.
Yeah, my mother's turned 80 last year. She lives alone. She's very independent. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that, because it means that she essentially doesn't need me as much. But I do imagine a time there will be a time when she will need me, potentially. And then the question is, how do I divide my time between the full life that I have and that? And I think something in that vox pop that we have acknowledges that in fact, children do have their own lives and very full lives.
Well, yeah, but, you know, most Asian kids, we're very cognizant of our requirements and of our expectations. The big dreaded specter is the retirement home issue and whether we should send our parents there. And it gets a lot more complex than that, which I'm sure, you know, will be discussed ad infinitum going forward.
But do you think, would it be for you in terms of the trade-off, sending somebody? Is it purely a sentimental issue? Is it pragmatic
for
you?
No, it's the care issue, it's the nutrition issue, it's the bedding issue, it's you know, the nurses and what you know, the retirement homes of today are very different creatures from where they were 20 years ago.
So you wouldn't be so guilty sending your parents to that?
It depends on what kind of home it is.
So if you could afford the best care, would that be enough?
Conceptually, you shouldn't do it, because, you know, we are Asians after all. We do look after our parents. We care up and we care down.
Do you think it's an Asian, a non-Asian, or in this case, I think
it's
you're referring to
an
European thing?
It's very much an Asian thing. And I think in Europe, people are much more amenable to sending their parents off to a village, for example. But not us, you know. We're just predisposed to caring up and down.
But, the truth is, if you look at the survey, that this idealized notion of Asians that you just articulated isn't in fact true. I mean, 36% of the elderly are ignored and often abandoned in these old folk homes.
You see, again, then I've got a question and look at who's conducting that survey particularly. But as a general whole, I mean, Asians are much more predisposed to the family.
We're going to be coming back with a preview of the top business stories that we're going to be discussing on the Morning Run this morning. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Kusu Chuang. Han, you just joined us. Happy Teachers' Day. I know I say this to you specifically because you, in fact, do teach.
Yes, I do. So happy Teachers' Day to me.
Oh,
yeah. I should give myself an apple.
Are you still teaching? I mean, actively teaching?
Yes, I am.
You are. And so, you know, do you expect something special when you go to class today?
Sharad, every day is special in class.
You see?
That's okay. Another evasive.
What do you teach, hon?
I tutor IGCSE. So yeah. I do teach business studies, economics, and sociology for kids age from 12 to about 18. Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to be a little apple, a little gift. You're going to like encourage that? Have you been encouraging that?
Chocolates? I have. So as always, so chocolates, coffee, the name of the game. Yes.
Okay, so kids, if Han is your teacher, you know what not to do. He's got a waistline to watch, and it's expanding every day that he's here at BFM.
That's why I'm on radio. Okay, yes.
That's right. Okay. We have oil and sugar in the mix today.
All right, so oil prices, this is global oil prices. Yeah, not prices at the pump, not around 95, at least not yet. Brent is now up almost 2% at $51.82 per barrel. If you recall, just not too long ago, Brent futures were below 50 bucks a barrel. So why this latest spurt? Because you've got Russia and Saudi Arabia having agreed to extend that production cut deal through the first quarter of 2018. Now, Chuang, you recall when they agreed to this last time, the initial deadline, as it stands right now, actually, is June of this year.
That's right. The issue is because oil prices are being pressured by an oversupply situation and by extending production cuts. They're hoping to run inventories down and for oil prices to normalize. So, but there are implications as a result, because you'll have the shale producers coming back up again from the Americas, and then there's also issues from Libya as well.
Okay, this is very pertinent for Malaysia because we're an oil producer.
Yeah, certainly, but nevertheless, also for us motorists. So now, except for you, Sharad, now that we are on that weekly price setting, right, at $4.95, so we are more exposed to fluctuations in global oil prices. We got to follow this story. Also looking ahead, on May 25th, OPEC members will be meeting in Vienna to, you know, try to decide on this production cut deal.
Okay, what about the question of sugar?
All right, so you got MSM. They are in talks with the government, apparently, to raise sugar prices. Raise sugar prices by another 29 cents. So if you recall, back in March 1st of this year, the retail price of refined sugar was actually raised by 11 cents already to 2 ringgit and 95 cents per kg. Apparently, MSM is in talks to raise it by another 29 cents, beyond 2 ringgit and 95 cents per kg. So I think the question here is this, right? With Malaysians already having to contend with rising prices, you know, we spoke about inflation and the consumer price index. Can Malaysians actually, you know, bear the brunt of higher sugar prices?
Well, more pertinently, until very recently, sugar was a controlled item in Malaysia where prices were controlled because it's obviously something that is being used every day in households. So you can't allow prices to rise, and it also comes in the wake of the price control anti-profiteering act. So what happens there?
Right. So now this is timely because at noon tomorrow, we've got April inflation due. Now, of course, this is backward looking. This is for April's figures. We did see how back in March, inflation surpassed 5% on year, right? So
it's an 8-year high,
right?
Only.
Only. But, you know, economists that we have spoken to, whom we have spoken to, say that inflation is expected to come off there, at least headline inflation. They believe it has peaked in March. But now with oil prices, you know, looking to rally and maybe sugar prices going forward may increase. What's it going to do to inflation? We got to keep an eye out on that.
Okay, you know, we're coming up to the news shortly. But before that, In the Aeroplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.